Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And we are in the book of Luke, chapter 3, and we're still talking about John the Baptizer, and he is still to introduce Jesus and turn the priesthood. Is going to show is going to be a change in the law, a change in the priesthood. It'll end up being an eternal priest from a priesthood that ends when when the priest dies, it's changed to another man. But we are right at the point just before the priesthood is turned over to an eternal priesthood, and one that will not change, one that is permanent and perfect, and a priesthood that removes sin, that takes away men's sins, and changes men completely, brings about eternal life, a brand new priesthood, not based on men, but based on eternal life and an eternal God in Jesus Christ. And there's another priest that we will introduce later on as we go along and get, especially when we get into the book of Acts, we will see another priest, eternal priest.
There was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. There was a voice crying in the wilderness, make his path straight. There came a man sent from God whose name was John, called to be a prophet of the Most High. He went before the face of the Lord to prepare his way and give the knowledge of salvation to his people. There was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. There was a voice crying in the wilderness, make his path straight. To make his path straight, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. There was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. There was a voice crying in the wilderness, make his path straight. path straight.
And it went on to say in the last time we were reading it, in the last radio program, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God can of these stones raise up children to Abraham. And even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And the crowds asked him, saying, what shall we do? And he answered and said unto them, who has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. Who has food, let him do likewise. And the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, exact no more than what is appointed you. And the soldiers also asked him, saying, what are we to do? And he said to them, extort from none, neither accuse wrongfully, be content with your wages. It seems like we are in a day and age when these things are exactly the opposite of what elected officials are doing, people are doing. It seems like this is one of the most corrupted times. I've been alive 77 years on this earth, and you're not always aware that, let's say the first 7 years, I'm not aware of much, but for 70 years, I've seen the decline. It's an amazing decline in morality, and people are going further and further away from this exact grouping of scriptures.
I'd noticed, since we already read Matthew, that one of the details in Matthew about, because he just says crowds in here, but in Matthew 3:7, it said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And that doesn't say that here, but that goes along with what we've been talking about with religious people and why John would say that, calling them a brood of vipers.
And he said it to whom?
It said here, the Pharisees and Sadducees.
In other words, the
religious.
Different religious.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain denominations that fit the Pharisees today, you know, within America, within the world. And there are some that are closer to the Sadducees, people that are not quite as structured in the Bible. And they're generally wealthier people. Mm. And they kind of have their own laws because I think they think that they're successful on this earth and they don't need the structure that we normal blue-collar people need. Like, they're better by nature than mm-hmm. other people. They don't have to read the Bible. They don't have to check in with Jesus to see how they're doing.
Yeah.
But it seems to cover, the Pharisees and the Sadducees pretty much cover all the religions that are on the earth in one way or another, don't they?
Huh. Yeah.
When you think about it, there's certain characteristics you can see with all religious people, unless they're really living by the Bible.
It's like all that confusion started from a source,
yes.
from one place or something.
Yeah. It's only divided because there's languages differences, there's different preferences that people have, things that are important, more important to them, so they make a god out of it. And I think even Christians do that, or different religions do that. They make religions to fit their personalities and what's important to them. So all of a sudden, it takes a generation or two for them to forget God and all of a sudden make their pet peeves is the evil. And it's kind of the pet peeve religion. And you could turn any religion into what your religion.
Mm-hmm.
The things that bug you, all of a sudden, God is bugged with. Well, maybe he's not bugged with that. You'd only know by reading the Bible. And it's the only book that's written by God. The only.
And you'd have to put it all together because that psalm, the sum of thy word is truth. So it's additive. It's all together. To find the truth, you'd have to look at all of the pieces.
what they call the Old and New Testament. It's every book, all 66 books in the Bible. And knowing the stories, when somebody's doing something, you don't follow it. Some are examples of things you're not supposed to do. So God will tell you, you don't want to do that, or you do want to do it. You'll read, as you read through it, you'll see there's things, God will give you examples of what people are doing that's wickedness. He'll give you examples of things that are righteous, but you have to read it and read it with understanding. Put yourself in that place. What am I doing? How does this fit me? 15 through 17 is the next context, Luke chapter 3.
And as the people were in expectation and all were reasoning in their hearts about John, whether haply he were the Christ, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not fit to unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly to cleanse his threshing floor and to gather the grain into the barn, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire.
Andy, what does it mean to baptize in the Holy Spirit? How can John do that? And fire.
It says, the one I am not fit to unloose. This is he, is John. John's talking about the one after him.
So it's not about John himself.
No, it says he shall. It says, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you in water, but the one mightier than I cometh with the latchet of shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire.
So who's he talking about?
Well, he's talking about Jesus. He's going to do this.
And fire.
And fire.
But did you notice that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit since
birth?
Youth. Since birth. Actually, before birth. Prior to right. birth.
Well, how you said it yesterday was good, because it was immediately from birth.
Yeah.
And birth, you said, and birth included pretty much when he was conceived. You said birth plus, or what you would call, you said, how did you say it? Plus 9 months. You said that. And I took note of that, and I thought, oh, that's really good. You're right.
It seemed like it happened right at that time
yeah.
that they were promised a child.
Yeah.
And I know he leapt in the womb, probably witnessing to Jesus being in the womb of Mary. He wouldn't have leapt, I don't think, if he hadn't had the Holy Spirit.
Oh, no. He was in the womb. He had the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yes. He didn't just get born and have the Holy Spirit. So that whole dynamic was going on. And I thought the story was so interesting when Mary makes haste to leave Nazareth, come rushing down to tell her relative of what's going on with me and all of that. And she, and it's, you know, you can't call anybody, you can't text them. So she gets there, and right as she says something to her, I'll be doggone if she doesn't take the beans right away from her. And Mary's made that trip to make some big proclamation, and she goes, how is it that the babe leapt in her womb for joy, and how is it that the mother of my Lord comes? I mean, she told her what she was going to tell her, and the Holy Spirit showed her that. You can read right past that. That's what happened. John the Baptist leapt in her womb, and she told Mary why she was coming to see her.
Yep.
Why should the mother of my Lord come to visit me, come to see me? That's a good Bible story.
Yeah.
It's not a story.
The period of the time of miracles, the biggest miracles ever that's happened to mankind. And then there's going to be fulfilled, but it's the beginning of
sure.
the miracles. And it's not yet all are fulfilled yet, but through the death of Jesus, this is the greatest thing that's been accomplished for mankind, is through his death, then the blood and the resurrection. And it's being fulfilled in us today. It's lasted this long, and it's yet to be completed. It's so great that a people yet to be created will praise the Lord. And we still have that promise that there's many loved ones we still want to see make it. How about 18 to 20?
With many other exhortations, therefore preached the good tidings to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, the wife of his brother, for all the evils which Herod had done, added this also to them all, and he shut up John in prison.
Here's the government for you. So this is going to be like a harvest that's coming up. The grain will be gathered into the barn, but the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. So how many people were baptized because of this? You know, the other place you see where Jesus was baptized in Matthew, but you don't realize that the whole people were being baptized at the same time. Mm-hmm. And this one, that's something I really picked up on this.
Was it all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem?
It says they were all coming to John to be baptized of him, I think, in another place. So there was a whole lot of baptizing going on. I remember in 1970, 69 and 70, there were a lot of baptisms. It was almost like we were constantly baptizing people.
Here's what Mark says, "And all the country of Judea went out unto him, and all they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins."
You think that's going to happen again?
Well, that's pretty big. All of the Judea and everybody in Jerusalem.
Can't you see that happening
that's
again?
That's just hordes of people going out.
Because you walk in one side and you belong to this and you're held to the constraints of this world. You're held to the constraints of your miserable body, you know, without having the Holy Spirit. And you walk through the water and you meet Jesus in the water and he changes your heart. He'll circumcise you to love your heart, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your might. And when you go through the water, "I will be there," Jesus says, and you walk out the other side and you have Jesus forever within you, in your heart, and you change your citizenship to an eternal one. Something happened right here at this point in following John. Now, it doesn't mean people are going to stick with it. But this is going to be, you know, if this happens again in the latter rain, I wonder if this is actually, what do you think, Steve?
I was just thinking that the latter rain, for that to happen, this has to happen again, this picture.
You did too, huh?
Uh-huh. I was just thinking that word he said.
Matthew then went out unto him and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan. It says it the same way in Matthew and Mark.
To be baptized of him. Is that what it says?
Yep. It says, "Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized of him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." Matthew and Mark said that.
So all three places. Doesn't it say by two or three witnesses? That is an event that is witnessed by all three Gospels. Not all events are, but this one is witnessed by all three of these Gospels.
In here in Luke, it says the crowds. It was crowds. It wasn't like four people.
Right.
I don't know if we talked about it or not, but when we're looking at the reason all these people were coming out there is they also knew who John was. We had read it in Luke where it says in chapter 1, 66, "And all that heard laid them up in their heart, saying, what then shall this child be? For the Lord's hand was also with him, and his father Zacharias."
So he was famous when he was born.
He was famous with his born. He wasn't the...
And now, look how many years it's been.
And they still know who he is.
30 years from when that statement was made, and they go, "What will this person be?" And they're all excited. And then 30 years pass, and he started talking. The word of the Lord came to him in the wilderness. He started talking, and here they come. Here they come.
This translation says, Luke 3:21, when all the people were baptized, in a Revised Standard Version. Panin says, the whole people was baptized. That sounds like all the people. Jesus came to the Jordan to be baptized by him. So it sounds like in the other versions, all the people were baptized.
Well, one time I looked on a map just to see how far they were traveling, and it was at least 20 miles from where the temple was to where John was out baptizing.
So in the Jordan.
In the Jordan. So if you're walking, you're there going to see this. It's not like it's right next door. They're traveling to go do something.
If you walk super fast, I can do 5 miles in an hour. So that's 4 hours. No way. An average person would take 6-8 hours, maybe.
If it's 20 miles.
Yeah. I'd say 8 hours. But people were used to walking more than we are today. Yeah. I'd say they probably did better than the normal person today, mm-hmm. way better. They had to have been in shape. No automobiles
mm-hmm.
or a good horse.
And what we haven't talked about is that John's daddy was a priest. So that means John was a priest. So John grew up, and instead of going to be a priest, he went out in the wilderness. But he was still famous enough for going out in the wilderness and not being around anybody when the word of the Lord came to him, and he started talking, and he said, repent. That's what word came to him. And when he started talking, they knew who he was, and they wanted to go out and see what he was doing. He wasn't dressed like a priest. He wasn't hanging out at the temple like a priest, but he had notoriety, and he had people remembering what happened.
They were used to following the man priest, and so yes. they followed him, at least to that point.
Oh, here's a priest that we don't know everything about him, but this is it's 30 years. So if you were 30 when this happened and everybody was in amazement, they'd be 60. They might not even be living, but this whole next generation knew who he was. So that was a continued story that was told about this man. Now, that's not written in here, but it is in here because they all went out to see him in the wilderness.
He had natural notoriety. He was known. But he was signaling the change. He was announcing the change of the priesthood and so on. But the priests that held on to the physical way and didn't, they're the ones that killed Jesus. The religious people that would not change. A drastic change.
Right.
A total change.
They were the same group that he was not part of.
And this change was up. This change was not going on that same old path that really was not bringing about eternal life. This is a brand new path that was brought about. And it was a brand new era. And when there's a brand new era, there's going to be major changes. And Jesus is coming back to bring about a whole big change. You going to read the next context? Discuss this one. So there's a total of 7 baptisms mentioned 7 times in this, and all of Judea got baptized. I haven't seen this in America. There's groups of people that have been, but wouldn't it be something if this happens again?
There was a giant movement around 1950, wasn't it? Billy Sunday and all of that whole group. There was a big movement.
Whatever era that was.
It was in 19, after the Second World War.
People were more godly back then.
Yeah, it was a big movement in the United States in the 1940s.
Where are we now? Luke chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
Did we read the 15 to 17?
We did, but we didn't read any more than that.
Okay. 18 to 22.
With many other exhortations, therefore, preached he good tidings to the people. But when Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, the wife of his brother, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added this also to them all, and he shut up John in prison.
Oh, actually, that 20 is the end of that context.
Yep. Next one.
So, but how about that one? Now, either, you know, it's interesting that politics puts him in prison.
That's the Herodians.
Yeah,
that's literally a Herod there. So the government got him there.
But there's another story that he didn't really want to do that. Was that back in the previous ones? Did we read about that already? Or is that later? Can we talk about it?
You're talking about Herod didn't want to do this?
Oh, it
this
was.
This is John.
John?
This is John we're talking about here.
Oh, okay. It's the... But about the fact of what happens to John the Baptizer, can we talk about that?
Hadn't said yet.
No, did we find it in Matthew? Or
that's what I'm saying. I don't believe it said that.
Okay,
yet.
So, okay, moving on.
I don't think so.
No, we have to do Matthew, Mark, Luke in the right
What's
order.
What's that move?
I don't know.
Okay.
21-22.
Hey, it came to pass when the whole people was baptized, that Jesus also, having been baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form as a dove upon him. And a voice came out of heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, my Son, the beloved. In thee I am well pleased."
Man was not in the middle of that at all. Man was totally removed. This came right from the Lord. God spoke. Isn't that interesting? Is this the first time now that we've read that just God spoke?
I think it happens in Matthew, too.
I think it does, too. I'll double check.
No, but I mean, the first time in any of these that God has spoken is at the baptism of Jesus? I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
Now, before he sent Gabriel and so on, but this is now God is coming. You're talking, the Father's not coming through a man, not coming through an angel. He is coming himself. This is the first time.
He's speaking. No angel.
Him speaking.
Yeah. We did that in Matthew 3. It says, "This is the Son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And here it says the same thing.
But it didn't happen. It happened, and this is a mate to it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time now that God has spoken to the fallen man with his own voice without an angel or a prophet. He just speaks
He's
this
He's speaking
out
it
of
straight
heaven.
Out. And it's right when Jesus was baptized, went up straight from the water, and lo, the heavens were open, and he saw God's Spirit descending as if a dove coming upon him, and a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." Almost verbatim to Luke.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."